Thank you, Mr. Snyder. You're always so humbling. Humble and humbling. And here we are, gathered together in God's presence on a day that He has made holy just for us, but not just for us, it's for Him also, because He is holy. And it would be of value for us to consider, are we really holy? The definition of being holy is dedicated and consecrated, set apart to God for a sacred or divine purpose. If that doesn't describe His people, set apart, sacred for a divine purpose. In Leviticus 19, verse 2, God said to Moses, He said, to speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy. You shall be holy. And He tells them why. For I, the Lord your God, am holy. God wanted His people to be like Him, and He still wants us to be like Him, because He calls us His children, and He wants us to be part of His family and part of His kingdom, right? We're only a few months away from the Passover, and we'll be celebrating all of these things in different ways at that time as well. And He said, you shall be holy, for I am holy. In Romans 14, through the words of Paul, he was inspired to write, for not one of us lives for himself. Our life is not about us. Our life is just not about us. We don't live for our own selves. None of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Romans 14, 7 and 8, verse 8. If we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. So there's no question with any of us about those of our loved ones who are not here with us now. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Leviticus 20, verse 26, God tells us, and you shall be holy to me. To me you shall be holy, he says, for I, the Lord, am holy. God wants us to be just like him. And I have separated you from the people for a sacred purpose. And what does he say that purpose is? Verse 26, that you should be mine. You shall be holy, that you should be mine. And as we're reminded by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, Peter reminds us, he says, but as he has called you, as God has called you who is holy, as God who is holy has called you, you also be holy. How? Be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God wants us all to be like him, set apart, sacred, sanctified for his purpose, to be his children, his family, his holy people. Be holy, for I am holy. And Paul also, or I should say, the writer of Hebrews also says in chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, and he's talking about the priesthood of Melchizedek, referring back to the Old Testament, his priesthood is permanent. It lasts forever. Therefore, because of that, he is also able to save forever those who come to God through him. Those who come to God, those who God calls to be holy, Jesus is able to save forever, because his kingdom is going to last forever. His family and his children will live forever. We're talking about eternal life here. That's another sermon for another time. But he said, therefore, he is also able to save forever those who come to God to be holy like God is. Those who come to God through him, through Jesus Christ. Since, and here's the clincher, Jesus, it's said of Jesus Christ, our elder brother, our friend, he always lives to make intercession for them, God's people, God's holy people. Jesus lives to intercede for us. If we goof up or if we make mistakes, Jesus Christ gave his life. He gave up everything so that he could set us apart for his Father as holy, so he could intercede for us as his brothers and sisters, as his Father's children. He lives to intercede for us because he is holy and he's sitting at the right hand of our Holy Father. He wants us to be holy as well, like he lived to be and gave his life to be. So may we be an appropriate reflection of God's holiness and the holiness of our Savior and brother, Jesus Christ.